There's 2 weeks left for Lent, and then in 2 Sundays we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday. It's important that we take advantage of the blessing of this season. If you're not fasting, or if you still are not focused, this is the time to take advantage of the blessing of this season. Today's gospel has so many meanings in it. It has so much to learn from. You see the way that Christ was dealing with the man. You see the purpose in which Christ came to the earth. He came to restore hope, and he came to save those who were without hope and those who were in a state of desperation. In the story, you're going to see the conditions in which Christ's power is to be given. There are certain conditions for God's power to come and to work in our life. And we're going to look and see exactly what those conditions are in order to understand that our lives would be healed in the same way. First, Christ saw this man who's been laying paralyzed for 38 years, lying by the pool. And he began by asking him if he wants to be made well. He says, "Do you desire to be made well?" Now, a lot of us would think that that's a silly question. Like, he's sitting there for 38 years, hopeless, paralyzed, no one around him, no one to support him, no friends, nobody that is there to assist him in any way. And Christ asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, again, all of us, we probably think, what a rude question. That's like seeing somebody who is, you know, in a wheelchair for 25 years, has lived most of their life handicapped, unable to walk, unable to move, and somebody says, "Do you really wish you could walk?" Like, how insensitive could one be asking a question to somebody that has been in this sickness for so long? But it's not as silly of a question as we think it is. You have to be honest with yourself and think, if you were in a certain condition like this for most of your life, that I'm sure this man didn't know life any other way. He probably had come accustomed to living in this disability. How many of you, after this much of time, would have lost hope? That if somebody would come to you and say, after spending 38 years in such a paralysis, in such a state in which you can do nothing for yourself and no one can do anything for you, how many of us would say no? How many of us would say, "No, I don't want to be healed"? Be honest with yourself. How many of you have gotten to the point where in your spiritual life, you've never experienced God's power? You've never experienced what you're always hearing in the sermons and you're always reading about in stories, and you're hearing about all this stuff that God's power is mighty and God can do so much in your life, and you've been hearing it year after year after year after year since you were young. And somebody comes, you say, "One day, do you want to live a life full of power? Do you want to have a transformed life?" I wonder how many of us think, "It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm good the way I am." And this message comes perfect in a time when we are addressing the issue of growing spiritually mature. How many of you can see that you are in the same state spiritually that you were last year? Your prayers are the same. Your fasting is with the same effort, if not even less. The love working in your life for others isn't like it used to be. Your desire to do good, your compassion for the needy, isn't the way it used to be when you maybe first started to take your spiritual life seriously. Maybe you are in a point where you've reached a certain spiritual paralysis, and you've come to a point where you don't even believe that you can be any different. Yeah, every once in a while I feel something during a liturgy. Every once in a while I feel this divine touch, maybe through a sermon or through some type of experience, but then it doesn't make that much of a difference. So when Christ is coming to ask this man who's been there for 38 years, and he's telling him, do you wish to be made well? The same question is posed to you in saying, do you wish to be made well? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want an absolutely different life that you're living now? Be honest. How many of us would say, I'm fine the way I am? Because with the healing would come responsibility. This man probably spent his whole life just begging. Who knows if people just drop food by him, or some people would, you know, come and assist him every once in a while. He got used to that. And he said, that's good enough. But if I'm healed, then I'm going to have to live life in a different way. I'm expected to move. I'm expected to be active. I'm expected to work. I'm expected to live life no longer like the paralyzed man. I wonder how many Christians today have gotten so used to the life of paralysis that they don't know any other life. When you look to the church today, and you look to the people or to the movement of the body of Christ as a whole, I wonder if Christ would look and tell the church today, do you wish to be made whole? Do you wish to be healed? Do you wish a different life for the church? Or we'd say, we're happy just sitting in the pews, hearing a nice sermon every once in a while. We say a prayer every once in a while. If something bad comes, maybe we'll pray. But don't push too hard. I wonder how much Christ is looking to his people and saying, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I hoped of the church. I wanted the church to be powerful and living and transformed. I wanted the church to be living a whole life, not a paralyzed life. Maybe we don't respond as many of the promptings of God in our hearts as he puts there. God pushes us and he says, that person is in need. And then you come with an excuse to him, to God, and you say, sorry, I'm busy. And then you're paralyzed, you can't move. And then God tries to touch you with a sermon. And now you can sit and you can now compare sermons. This week's was better than last week's, and the week before that was funnier than the week before that. And you're no longer in a state of being moved and transformed. You're content in the way that you are. This is the most dangerous state that one can come in. The paralyzed state. The paralyzed state that gets so used to and says, I don't know life any other way. I want you to ask yourself, does the church expect today, do we expect today for God to work the same mighty wonders that he worked in the early church? Ask yourself. The same amazing miracles that God worked in the apostles and among the saints that we read in the Synaxarium, the mighty powerful works that he was working day in and day out among the apostles. Do you really expect him to do that for us in the church today or not? I'm afraid that maybe we've become like the poor widow. That when Christ came, he gave us the story of the persistent widow asking the judge that he would have mercy on her case. God at the end of the story says, now when God comes to the earth, will he really find faith among his people? If God were to come today, would he really see that these are a people full of faith? These are people that want to be made well. These are people that want to be cured of sin, that want to be living lives of victory, people that want to live lives that are completely different than what I'm living now. Lord, I'm sick of the defeat that I'm experiencing every day. How many of us come to God when we say, Lord, I hate the paralysis. I no longer want to be paralyzed by the same lusts of my thoughts, or the same judgmental thoughts in my mind. I don't want to be paralyzed anymore. I want to be made well. And that's why Christ asked it, because in order for the power to come, the first requirement for receiving the spirit of healing is to have an intense desire for it. How intense is your desire to be made whole? A few weeks ago, we talked about the spiritual rule. We talked about the importance of having a spiritual rule, or قنون الروحي, and how each and every one of us needs to have this rule to discipline ourselves in order to change the desires of our hearts. Be careful. We live in a society that you are living such... It's so easy to live such a worldly life, especially here in America, where maybe for the most part people aren't living to make ends meet just to survive. No, people are living to make ends meet so that they can live maybe more comfortable lives. But it's not just to survive. And I wonder how many of us are willing to work so much against the flesh because I want new life from God. I want to work so much against these fleshly desires, this worldly thinking. I'm so immersed in the ways of the world that the way I talk is like the people of the world. And the way I think is just like the people that I'm watching on TV. Everything they're saying in the sitcoms, the reason why it's funny, not because it's absurd, what makes you laugh about the things that are going on these TV shows are because it resembles the things that in your own life that you laugh about. There are things that you look to your own life and you laugh about and we make humor of it. But this is a condition of paralysis. The only way that we are going to find healing is if we come before God and we say, I have an intense desire to be made whole. I don't want to be living this way. And so I'm going to use every part of my will to follow you. And if my will is not there, there's no doubt, for myself even, there are times where we do not desire to do the things of God. It is not natural for us to do the things of God. It's important for us to retrain our hearts. Bring our wills once again to become aligned with the will of God. And that's only going to come through the spiritual rule. I'm asking you today, do you want new life? Do you want life change? And if you think that because you say your prayers, or you read your Bible, or you come to church regularly more than everyone else, if that is life change, you don't understand what new life is. If you think, but Abuna, I'm doing good. No, I don't want my life to change. This is good. The way I have it now is good. Then you don't want life change. You don't understand what new life is. You don't know what your potential is in Christ. You don't know. I want you to imagine what this man who was paralyzed for 38 years, the difference in his life from when he was laying on a bed, begging, hoping that one person would just acknowledge his existence and throw him in the water when the angel would come around. Compared to the man that carries his bed, goes to the temple, meets the Pharisees, it's a new life. It is a whole new life from being stagnant to being able to go where God has asked me to go. And he says, go take up your bed and walk. Then Jesus asked him to do the impossible. He says, get up. Telling a paralyzed man to get up. The command that was made, it made no sense to the man that had been paralyzed for so long. What do you mean, get up? You think it's that easy? Just one man, who I have no idea who he is, he comes one day and says, stand up? That easy? But this man, you could tell by his desire, he was willing to do anything. And that he trusted. He had that faith that says, I'm going to obey your commands because I want the change. Often when we do question and answer with young people, we have young youth or sometimes in the church, youth will ask a question, they'll say, but Abuna, before you answer, don't give us the typical answer of pray and read the Bible and fast. So what do you want Abuna to say? What is Abuna? You want me to make up some story that's going to bring healing? There's two things. Spend time with the Lord. Grow in knowledge of Him through the Word of God. Discipline your body. And you'll know the will of God. But people don't want to obey the commandments. People want new commandments. Give us something new. Give us something that will make a difference this time. I don't know how many people, they come to me and they say, Abuna, but you told me that last time. Did you do it? Abuna, I need some type of like counseling piece of advice. I need something that is like intellectual. There's nothing intellectual. Just all Christ said was, get up. With your will, united with God's grace, you'll be able to do it. When your will comes before God and says, Lord, I need your grace, you will find healing. It's simple. It's simple, but it needs the transformation of our will. After the Lord healed him, he told him, go and sin no more. The fathers of the church tell us that the reason why he told him, go and sin no more, because of the reason why he was paralyzed for such a long time was because of his sin. He had been living in sin, and this was a consequence of one of his sins. And he goes and he tells him, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. You're healed today, and God is willing to heal you today, and He's willing to give you a new life today. Not much later. He's looking for the will, and He's willing to heal you, and He will be willing to heal you now if you just come to Him and you obey, and you say, Lord, I'm going to obey your command. Because you asked me, I'm going to take up my bed and walk. He says, go and sin no more. He's saying, once you find the healing, be on guard. Be on guard. He's saying, it would be a shame that after suffering from the same sin for 38 years, that once you find healing, you go back to sin. You ever met one of those people? Have you ever met one of those people that God has done something amazing in their life? They were suffering from something. They were far from God. They didn't know Him. God did something mighty in their life. He healed them. He did something that showed His great love for them. And then what happens? They go back to the same way of life. I meet those people every day. People say, Abuna, pray for me. I'm going through this trial. And I'm asking God, I'm saying, Lord, I know that this trial you can use to change this person's life. And God will bring them through the trial. God will bring healing to the child that they're praying for. God will solve their problem they're going through because their work has some conspiracy against them. And what happens? As if nothing happened. He's saying, go and sin no more, because a worse thing is going to come upon you. If the first trial didn't work because of my love for you, I'm going to work harder to change your life. Just like God did with Jacob. Little by little, God was working with Jacob. And Jacob thought it was because of his own power. He was deceiving his brother. He got the blessing. He deceived his father. He got his father's blessing. He deceived his brother. He got his brother's birthright. He deceived his uncle. He took all the healthy goats and flock. Then God said, I love you too much. I love you too much. So God began to wrestle with Jacob, because he continued to run away from his problems, to run away from facing God, from running away from being honest with himself, that he is deceiving everybody that he knows, even his own self. So God said, no more. And God came and wrestled with him, to a point that Jacob was putting up a fight with God and said, God, I cannot let you into this part of my life. He was putting up a fight with God and saying, no, I'm going to live life the way I want. So what did God do? When God saw that he could not overcome, the Bible says in Genesis 32 that when he could not overcome, it says he touched the hip, he touched his hip and the joint came out of its socket. God is going to touch him with even a greater message of suffering because of his love, not to punish. God doesn't punish just to punish. God punishes to say, I love you. Just like any shepherd who sees a shepherd that goes away, that strays too much, what is a shepherd supposed to do? Why does he have that rod? He hits the sheep. He punishes the sheep. He breaks the leg of the sheep sometimes so that the sheep would realize you don't leave the shepherd. It's not punishment out of anger. It is discipline out of love. Christ is telling us today, if you want a new life, I'm willing to give it. But it's going to come from you willing to obey my commands. You having an intense desire to say, I want a new life, I want to transform life, and I believe that you're going to give it to me. But when he heals, when God does the work, he tells you, go and sin no more. If there is some sin in your life that is causing some pain or suffering or misery or emptiness or lack of joy, sin no more. And you see that this person didn't go back to wherever he came from. It says right after he went to the temple. He went to the temple and he met the Pharisees in the temple and he met Christ in the temple. He went back to the life of the house of God. It was a transformed life. I pray that we would have that same desire that this paralyzed man would have, that had. And we would come before God and say, I want new life. I want change. I don't want to be the same way I am next year. Or even by Easter. Lord, I'm offering this fast. I have 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks of this fast, and I'm coming before you and saying, I want change. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to fast, Lord, but I'm going to fast. I'm disciplining myself. I'm trying to change my desires. I'm trying to change my will so that my will would be like yours. And then the healing will come. The power of God's resurrection will come. A new life will come, and glory be to God forever. Amen.